Mary had a little lamb, the Son of God, the Son of Man.
Well, welcome. It's our favorite message of the year. It's our Christmas message. It's the end of a wonderful 2021, and we reflect on the year, and we think about the year to come. And most importantly, we think on this Christmas season and that which we celebrate during the season. So, Bill, welcome. And what's on your mind this year as we close out this year?
Well, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate your help with this. When we look at FSG, we would really make a big mistake if we didn't realize how thankful we were for all the people that make up FSG. So we really are thankful for the people, and we need to get that right. And I think most of us do, but being thankful for them and thankful for each other is that bedrock that we stand on from a humility point of view. It's really not about us, it's about what we can do together. And then we have this institution to build. God inspired from the very beginning this vision that we have to build an institution dedicated to timeless contribution and service. But is it really there? Things do need to change, and that's what's been very heavy on me is I love this business. I loved it from the very beginning. I love what it did, and I was really passionate about it, and I'm still passionate about it now. And I love working with my hands. I love building things. I love making things, and I love the technicians that we have, some of the most respected people I have. Watching people work and build buildings and repair buildings, I love that. I love everything about it. We have an opportunity to be a national company that does that type of work all across the whole country, and we do, and it's something that's very, very exciting to me. Other thing that's very, very exciting to me is being the best at what we do. Passionate for being really, really good at what we do. So this institutionalization, if we're going to be multi-generational, we're going to be around 80 years from now or 120, we really have to get both those things right. We got to have our people here that just as excited about what we do and what we could do and how we do it as I am and a lot of people are.
So you indicated that we're not quite there yet, right? That we still got some things to do. So what are those things, or what are some of the changes that we can see coming that take us to that next level being an institution?
Here's some of the big changes. So we've said one FSG, but we're really not one FSG. We're 30 different operating companies with 30 different profit and loss statements. We've got a very lean corporate office, but we need to be one FSG. So we need the executives, the real creative, the drivers of this company to say, I am just not building Dallas. I'm just not going to build up San Antonio or Houston. I am the executive that's going to build up FSG institution across the whole country. So what that looks like and what that means is we need a chief operating officer of the lighting business. We need a chief operating officer of the construction business, the build market. We need a chief operating officer of all these other diversified services. The building business, there's tremendous opportunity, unlimited opportunity for people that build buildings. And all the skills and all the trades and all the diversity and all the opportunities and all the creation, innovation and creativity that goes into that, that's unlimited opportunity. And I hope there's people that are listening here that are saying, I can do more for this company, and I see the vision not to just do it in my market or my city, but the vision is to do it across the whole country. Same for our sales. We started with a vacuum cleaner salesperson, me knocking door to door with vacuum cleaners. I will always love sales. But we want a world-class sales organization in every which way. So the big move is going to be we're not going to do that individually. We're going to do it as one. So we're going to form a sales superpower. But all these things that we list that we really want to get right in the company, we're not going to be who we can be without employees helping us, really buying into us, telling the truth, building the relationships, coming together as one FSG, and even our people seeing it's just not Houston or it's just not Corpus Christi or Albuquerque. I really am part of a national organization, and I can contribute to that. I can add to the velocity of our growth and our change.
We're really talking about change all the way up and down the ranks, right? I mean, we have our leadership that is growing and looking at those retirement years, and we have mid-level leaders that are looking to move up, and we have positions that our people can move up into the mid-level. So there's a lot of opportunity, right?
The most successful people in this company now are about to turn 65. I'm thankful that they're not all going to hit the door on the midnight of their birthday. People work 5, 10, 15, they work 20 years for a great opportunity. You know, these great opportunities are coming now to the next generation. So we need to be identifying them, investing in these people, and cheering them on. And succession planning is going to be very much at work.
Talk to us about the systems and tools. There's obviously a lot of opportunities that are being created in the company for people to slide into positions and that sort of thing. But there's also a lot of opportunity for growth with the tools that we use, the systems that we use, specifically our IT systems and our IT products. Talk to me a little bit about some of the investments that are being made there and what people can look forward to.
We have a big investment that's already started. We're investing in what we want to be a continued world-class digital product development. FSG did build a lot of our systems, but we've had people tell us on the employee engagement side, where's this going? How good is it going to be? Adam Haynes, who we're leading the group, is our chief product officer. He's a skilled leader and a skilled product developer. This investment that's going to put us in a position to where we're going to have better systems and better tools and better ways of doing business, whatever that might look like, is going to be part of this institution. And we're going to outpace our competitors. We're going to do that in a big way and bring big change.
Our vision, for those that haven't read it or those that don't remember, is to build an institution dedicated to timeless contribution and service. If we're an institution dedicated to timeless contribution and service, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that think timeless is finite. There's a beginning of life, there's an end of life. But we're really talking about infinite, right? We're really talking about there is no end, because there is a faith that says timeless is more than just the time we measure on this earth. And so the time that we have on this earth is about our work. It is about the things that we enjoy and the family, right? And so we want to build a company that provides good work, that provides for families, that takes care of people. But then we also want to build an institution that doesn't just feed the stomach, it feeds the soul.
Absolutely. We don't want to be short-sighted, and I think the institution that we're building understands that. And our ministry is through business, so when we really care about people, we have to care about the whole person. People are wonderful. Psalm says you're wonderfully made. It's amazing. People are amazing. You need to see people as people. So the human resources investment, the Propel investment, the employee engagement project, the succession planning project, all these people, we need to see people as people. And how exciting it is that God inspired us that a company could be established and an institution can be built as a company to have a grand vision that goes beyond just a job.
And we start with saying, you know, we're going to willingly contribute to the quality of life of all employees, customers, and vendors, and the general community, specifically by our good, unselfish works of service that originate in pure hearts, seeking to honor God and His desire. Are the things that we're doing contributing to the quality of life for all of our people, for the customers, for the communities that we live and serve in?
This is one we need to get right, and I think we've gotten it right, but we can do so much more. We spend more time at work than we do at home, and it's really, really important that we bring joy and peace and satisfaction into our relationships at work that is much more valuable. So I think divinely inspired for this message is a book that I recently saw referenced. It's called The Romance of a Doctor's Visit. And this is a wonderful book about a professional doctor that was in a position to understand the secrets of people's lives. Not only their physical problems, but also their spiritual problems, their financial problems or domestic problems. And this doctor did right by those patients, because while he had his medical bag in one hand, he had his Bible in the other. And it wasn't just a single medicine or a single procedure to fix their physical problems. He wanted them to have a total quality of life, and you can't do that without a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can't do that without the wisdom that the Bible gives us. And it's what Jesus said, I have come that you have life, but life in abundance. So the quality of life, we don't want to separate the two either. And we don't want it to ever change. It doesn't need to change. It's timeless.
For our people, you know, it's the tool belt, it's the service call, it's the lighting fixture package sale. These are the tools that we carry in one hand. And in that other hand is the Bible. It is the relationships. It is the goodwill. It is the kindness. It is, you know, it is this thing that's bigger than just, you know, a set of tools to do an 8-to-5 job, right?
Absolutely, and so perfect for today, the state of our country. Such division and such name-calling. So as we all do our jobs vocationally, if we understand that our objective is to make people's lives better, then the Bible tells us how to do that. Boy, we need to get this right. We really need to get it right, because there will be a time that where everybody comes to grips with life is short. And our days, like Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to have a heart of wisdom to count the number of our days. We lost some loved people. A great friend of yours that became a great friend of yours here at work, Jared Johnson. There are others. I heard at a executive conference in New York, it was all about financial. And one of the people stood up and said, what I want to tell you is get a grip on how short life is. The Bible is perfect truth and perfect wisdom, and it tells us all that we need to know about this short life that we have, and that short life is meaningless compared to the eternal life. God said, I so love you and love the world that I'm going to send Christ to pay the price for your sins. And if you believe in him and believe that he died for your sins, then you're going to be born again and you're going to live forever with a new life, a righteous life, and all the other things. And then dear Jesus himself said, I came so that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. It doesn't say the only thing you can seek is the kingdom of God, because we can seek success for FSG and we can seek fun and success for our family. But the first thing you have to do is seek the kingdom of God. So this Christian faith is real. It's the biggest personal change that anybody would ever have. It gets you a new life, it gets you an eternal life. And it gets you life forever with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus is amazing. That's what we celebrate in Christmas. But the Bible goes on to tell us so much more about who this Christ is, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that will come again. Randy West always said it best and simple. I remember him. He says, it comes by faith, no other way. You just have to have faith. So we pray that anybody that doesn't have faith, that they'll find it.
He said to Thomas, the only way to the Father is by me. And he answered a question. The way to God's a person. It's not a way. It's not a system. It's not even a church. It's not a ceremony. All these are important, but that's not the way to God. The way to God's a person, and it's so simple, and this is not an oversimplification. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. May I say to you tonight, the way to this place we're talking about is through a person, and that person is Christ. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?
You know, in the beginning, 1982, 4 o'clock in the morning, Steve Byrne and I would drive 110 miles to San Antonio, and then I would knock doors all day. We listened to J. Vernon McGee on the way there. We listened to J. Vernon McGee in the last one. It's still my I would say my favorite preacher. Scared to death, looking for any kind of help to remain sane and keep going that we could. And it was the grace of God through the Word of God, the encouragement of the Word. And I'm right back to where I was in 1982, building this institution. I need so much the Word of God. I need so much. I need it. I need it. I need it. And I would say everybody else does too.
Mary had a little lamb, the Son of God, the Son of Man, born to give the world his light, God's gift to us that silent night. He chose the girl of purest heart to give his plan the perfect start. A son was born to live and to die. He was a gift for every man, delivered by God's loving hand. So open up your gift and believe. Oh, Mary had little lamb, her baby was the great I am, born to give our blindness sight, God's gift to us that holy night. Rock-a-bye, Jesus, your love never leaves us, the world will see your shining. Oh, Mary had a little lamb, the Son of God, the Son of Man, born to give the world his light, God's gift to all that silent night. Her baby was the great I am. Mary had a little lamb.
Yeah.